Well, that what God has us down here on the earth for is to give evidence of the things not seen, and that we might obtain a good report by other people. In fact, one of the requirements of a pastor is that he is well spoken of by those who are outside the faith. One of the things that a pastor has to have is a good reputation among the average everyday person. And so it should be, and as a pastor is a pattern, and so hopefully you as well will aspire to that in all of your way, in your work, in your dealings, in your honesty, in your integrity. So what I say here in these first two verses is we see the dignity of faith. Faith is dignified because it's important. Its dignity is seen in the fact that it has a purpose in our lives. The second section is verses 3 to 6. Look at this. This is the delight of faith. Verse 3 says, through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God, and the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. What he's saying is, by faith, we believe the world was made out of nothing. Now, guys, God puts that in very clear terms. This is one of those things God lays His pleasure on. He smiles upon. He says, you believe it, we believe it, and God is pleased with that. He couples it with two other things He was pleased with. And this is where the word delight's coming from, the word pleased. Because look at verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. You recall, he brought a bloody sacrifice. Cain brought fruits and vegetables. God had respect to the bloody sacrifice because that's what was required. He had sinned. He deserved death. Abel got it and said, I'm going to bring a bloody sacrifice because I realize I'm a sinner. God said, that's it. You got it. Cain didn't like it. He cut his throat in a mimicry, a mockery of what his brother had done. He slit his brother's throat. Saying, you want to have a dead, bloody lamb or something on some kind of altar? I'll give you a bloody. Here's bloody. And he cut his throat. You find that in 1 John. He says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. And then it says in verse 5, it says, and by faith Enoch was translated because he pleased God. And God Himself gave witness in verse 4 of Cain. And then in verse 5, God was pleased with him. And then He says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. And here's that little word again. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. And that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You know, when I come to God, I got to take God all the way God represents Himself. And the first thing God represents Himself to me is, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And right out of the gate, He's telling me He made it out of nothing. And the world was out without form and void. And He throws in the word day. He did it in a day. He did it in the next day. He did it in the third day, the fourth day, and the sixth day. And on the seventh day, He rested. And then he knit into the fabric of the Ten Commandments, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Because in 6 days, God created heaven. And on the seventh day, and every week, the Israelites would commemorate the fact that He did it in 6 days. God says, you got to believe this. If you're going to believe anything, because it's a domino effect. You give up creation, you're going to have to give up everything. Because He said He made Adam and Eve, and He said Adam had Abel, and Abel had children, and all the way down, and we can go to Jesus and look at His genealogy. It goes all the way back to Adam. And if you add up the numbers, you're going to find what? You're going to find Adam at the end of those numbers, and it's going to be pinpoint accuracy. God said, I did it in 6 days. He said, I did it out of nothing. I hung the earth on nothing. And God is pleased when we stand with God. He's pleased when we take the right sacrifice, as Abel did. He's pleased when we walk with God in fellowship, as Enoch did. And He translated him. You might underline the word translated, because that's the word that means, it's like metatithemi. The word is metatithemi. It means to set beside. He set Enoch beside this reality. Like metaphysical, it's not the physical world, it's a metaphysical reality. It's something behind the scenes you can't see. You can't see atoms, they're there. You can't see heaven, it's there. Angels walk amongst us, you can't see them, they're there. Metaphysical reality. And when he took Enoch, He translated him. He moved him beside this reality and put him into the reality in glory. Why? Because he pleased God. He walked with God, and he was not, for God took him, the Bible says. Quick and to the point, here he is. He took him. That's the rapture, and that's what's going to happen to you and me. God says, I'm going to, in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, at the trump of God, the dead in Christ arise first, then we which were alive and remain, and to the coming of the Lord will be caught up together. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Comfort therefore one another with these words. What words? The words we're going to be with Jesus. It's the most cool thing in the world is to know that you're going to be with Jesus one day. You know what? We don't want it. I'm busy. I want to have kids. I want to get married. I want to have this. I want to get my house. No, wait a minute. Oh, that's fine. But I'm telling you what, folks, if you've ever been so elated, so over the top full of joy, that's not even touching the hem of what you're going to get in glory. It's going to be so good up there. The Bible says everlasting joy shall be upon their brow. You know what that means? No admixture of pain, no sorrow, no death, no dying, no parting. It's all going to be good. And that's the promise of glory. And we need to realize that down here, it's hard sometimes. Let us not fool ourselves that the joys we have anything to do with the joys that we will one day have. Do not sell your birthright for a bowl of pottage like Esau did to his brother. No, he says the delight of it is that God delights in it. And he says it's impossible to please God without faith. We need faith. It's what pleases God. The dignity of it is it brings in a testimony. The delight of it is that God is pleased when you express it. Just believe Him. The declaration of our faith is seen in verse 7 through 16. If you look at verse 7, it says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. And when it says he condemned the world, it doesn't mean he was pointing fingers. It means that every day for 120 years, as he hammered that ark together with his family, every day his life was a testimony and his work, he was speaking loudly. Hey, Noah, what are you doing? Building an ark. Why are you building an ark? God's going to make it rain. Well, it never rained before. Yeah, I know, but he says it's going to rain. I believe him. I'm getting ready. You ought to, too. By the way, if you want to grab that board over there and hand it, okay, here you go, Noah. Yeah, and every day, and people would maybe churning with him for, that's ridiculous. 120 years, you've been building that thing forever out in the middle of the land mass. There's no water around. Look at that. How's he going to get that thing to the water? Water's coming to me. Water's coming to me. Guess what? It did. The whole earth is marked by the fact of a catastrophe. There are seashells that are not even open on top of Mount Everest. They died closed and quick. Seashells on top. I know. Some Baptist got a bunch of them, threw them up there. He went up there and threw them around. They were underwater. Mount Everest. Guys, listen, there's enough proof for our faith. It's faith, it's conviction, it's convincing, it's persuasion. And he says Noah condemned the world every day as he hammered it. He wasn't a condemning kind of guy. I mean, everybody was at odds with him, but he wasn't going around pointing finger. He didn't have time for that. He condemned them by his behavior, and that was one of the things that he did. And all of these illustrations come down. I'm not going to read them all, but he says, by faith, Abraham obeyed and he went into another land. Sarah believed and she judged. That's a good verse, actually, if you can find that one down in there where it says of Sarah. It says, by faith, Sarah, let's see where she at, find her. Okay, verse 11, it says, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, which was delivered and was delivered of a child when she was past age. And underline these words, because she judged him faithful. Her declaration was she judged him faithful that he could do it. Throughout this whole section, he gives a number of people. And in the end of it, he says in verse 14, it says this. It says, for all these, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. That's that little word for. See, every one of them is saying something by their behavior. And I wonder, what are you saying by your behavior today? Really, what are you saying? Because the world's listening. Your behavior says something. You either believe God or you don't. You're saying something to your children. You either believe God or you don't. If you're not getting sweeter as a parent, if you're not getting more obedient as a kid, you're saying something to your parents. You're saying something to your children. You are saying what you believe by how you behave. If you get frustrated, if you stumble, that's understood. It happens. But what do you do when that happens? Do you come back and say, I'm sorry? Are you willing to humble yourself? The Bible talks about how all these things be true of those who believe that we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places, that we've been made holy, that we're to walk wisely, we're to mimic God in His love. And then it turns around and says, now, all these things being so, and all these things being true of you, completely, positionally, a saint of God, it says, now, husbands, love your wives. Just like Christ loved the church. He says, because all of it's true, now you love your wives. And it says, wives, it says, you need to submit to your husband. You need to arrange yourself under your husband and support him. And you need to be the one who's a cheerleader and support and help. Help! What's that? Oh, all the way back in Genesis. Help. That's what he made you for. What about the children? Oh, children, you need to be obedient to your parents. That's God's will. You want to know what God's will is? Be obedient to your parents. And that just means to listen when they talk. It means to listen under. They say do this, you do it. Oh, I don't believe it. Well, you don't believe God. You see, what you believe is declared in your behavior. And he said, these people believed and they did some things. Because they believed, when God spoke, they said, I'm doing that. I'm there. And they declared that they sought a city. Verse 15, it says, and truly, if they had had a mind to return to that country by which they had come out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. And he's talking about every one of those old stories we heard about them coming out of Egypt. And, oh, I want to go back to Egypt. What about Abraham? Huh? Came out of Ur of the Chaldees. All those idolaters over there. He came out of Ur and went in and lived in a tent for decades. In a tent. He was a nomad. But he stayed there because he was declaring plainly, God's going to give me this land. And the Bible says that he did not receive the promise, even though he believed the promise. And in verse 16 it says, Now they desire a better country. That is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to call them their God, for He hath prepared them a city. How cool is that? He prepared us a city. A city. A bustling metropolis where all is good and all is well and everybody greets everybody and everybody's laughing and having a wonderful time. And it is everlasting joy. That's where we're going. You're not going to have any misgivings. You're not going to have any secrets. You're not going to have any bad days. You're not going to be depressed. You're not going to be discouraged. You're going to be lit up. And it's all going to be on your sleeve and you're just going to be laughing. You'll see somebody and you'll remember and you'll know and you'll laugh and you'll stumble and the angels will swoop in and say, tell me about when you got saved. You're going to be testifying about Jesus all through eternity. All those angels say, man, just tell me your story. Oh, and every one of us is a new creation, not only as a born-again believer, but a new creation of God where He turned us and turned us around and gave us a new life. And we're going to be telling the angels about that forever. So we see the declaration. He says they declare. For they that say such things declare. For, that little word. Verse 17 says, by faith Abraham. He goes back and visits Abraham again because this is a new nuance. He's going to talk about the decisiveness of faith. He just told us about the declaration. They declared they sought a city. What about the decisiveness? Well, it says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And what did he offer him up? He offered up Isaac. And he says, he offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. He knew God said, this was the boy. This was the one I'm going to work through. And he says, accounting. You see, decisiveness. Faith is decisive. It accounts. It lays it out and says, is this true or isn't it? He accounted. He laid out all the P's and Q's. He said, God said he's going to be. He said, kill him. He said he's going to be the one I'm going to bless. And he says, kill him. God can raise him up. That was his conclusion. He accounted God was able to raise him up in verse 19, even from the dead, from whence he also received him in a figure. He was all tied up and on the altar. And as soon as he went back to go in, God said, Hold your hand. Stay your hand. And there was a lamb in the thicket. I just know that you love me now. He accounted God for God. He said, God is able. There are going to be times when you're going to feel like, I don't want to do this. I don't like doing this thing God's asking me to do. I don't want to crucify my flesh. I don't want to change my behavior. I don't want to love my wife. I don't want to submit to my husband. God said, if you are willing, you are saying to me, you love me more than you love yourself. You love me more than your son Isaac, whom your soul loveth. You love me more than anything. And you can only do that if you have faith. You will only do that if you see that God is God, as Michelle sang this morning, even when it's hard. God is still God when you're on your knees. That's conviction. So that was his first illustration of his decisiveness. Look at Isaac and Jacob. Both Isaac and Jacob in verses 20 and 21 blessed their children with blessings about the future. Future wasn't there yet. Isaac was an old man when Jacob and Esau came. They were still nomads. He says, God's going to make a great nation out of you. They were just two boys. That's about all there was. Jacob goes into a far country. He comes back. He has 12 sons. Joseph's killed as far as he knows, but he's over in Pharaoh's land getting his life put around and, you know, getting everything ready for the children of Israel to be preserved. But no